I've seen lots of squirrels scampering up and down the trees, and most of my trees are budding. But you know what? I don't have as many birds as usual. There was a beautiful Mr. Cardinal that landed on the shrub by my office window, and there were some little wrens that landed in a puddle of snow water. But where are all of the robins that I usually have, especially after a rain? Do you think they got lost on the way here? Well, usually we have some who stay all winter. Well, anyway, we can't figure those things out, and maybe, just maybe, they know what the weather's going to be in the month of April, and they're staying away a bit longer. Anyway, I hope you have birds at your house. And I hope you're having a good day, because I am, because I can visit with you. I completed a series of messages during the Olympics and after on the power of a dream, and that meant that God has a plan for all of our lives who know Him and love Him, and He has it all in detail, a real plan. And the sovereign of the universe cannot allow any of His plans to be executed haphazardly. Actually, He leaves nothing to chance. So it's up to you and to me if we follow His plan for our lives. The life of Jesus is a prime example of that. First, it was His coming as a baby in Bethlehem. And then it was His earthly ministry, the calling of the disciples, the preaching, and all the things that happened. And then His death. And this was followed by the wonderful, exciting resurrection. And each one of those events took place according to the Heavenly Father's plan and purpose. And this was to show that Jesus was determined to do His Father's will. Let me quote Luke 9:51. It says, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. And that meant Jesus was going to do His Father's will. And after all, Jesus' death was not a turn of fate. It was a fulfillment of God's ultimate plan. Yes, He came to give His life a ransom for the sins of the world. And it's also true that the life of every single believer, those that are born again, have been designed by God to fulfill a specific purpose right now in their lives. I have wrote down a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, by the way, he was a great preacher in England. And this is what he said. I thought it was interesting and I've never forgotten it. There's not a spider hanging on the king's wall but has its errand. And there is not a nettle that grows in the corner of the churchyard but it has its purpose. And I will never have it said that God created any man or person to be a nothing. Isn't that good? So, in light of this, let's talk about today. Let me visit with you on the subject of why we celebrate Easter. Of all of the holidays that we celebrate, Easter is, according to my opinion, the most unique. Not only because of its unusual background, but also because it commemorates the most awesome moment in history. And that was the victory of Christ over death. Let's face it, the celebration contains a mixture, yes, of Christian and pagan traditions. But for the Christian, Easter has a special significance in that it celebrates the resurrection. For the unbeliever, it only brings to mind, well, spring's here. Let's have purchased some Easter eggs and maybe an Easter candy, Easter bunny. All of those things seem to have been taken over. And you know what? I had a question asked of me, and I thought, well, I better go and search it out and answer it. And it is, have you ever wondered why the dates change every year? I've heard many comments by different ones on the fact that why is Easter so early this year? Well, the early church merely celebrated Easter around the same time as the Passover feast, and that was based on the Hebrew lunar calendar. However, a controversy arose during the 4th century AD over which date to celebrate. Some churches desired to keep Easter in relation to the Passover. But there were other churches who objected, since Christ rose on a Sunday, and they wanted to continue to date it in the customary way, especially because it could fall on a different day of the week, and they wanted it on Sunday. So, in 337 A.D., and in some of the records that I checked out in my research, said 325 A.D., so we can conclude that it was between 325 and 337 A.D. that Emperor Constantine began to resolve the problem during the council meeting of Nicene. And eventually, the council ruled that Easter would be celebrated on the first Sunday after the full moon, the first full moon, after the vernal spring equinox. So, and it cannot come, here's what another issue that they decided. It cannot come before March 22nd or after April 25th. So now you know. And as a result of this decree at the council, the Easter holiday became even more bound to pagan rituals and a mixture of both pagan and religious practices. The fact is, today, the mixture of Christian and pagan have been practiced together for so very long that they've become accepted as part of the Easter celebration. Christmas and Easter, after all, have become so commercialized and secularized that most non-believers think about, oh, yes, I have to go buy candy. I have to boil some eggs, and all of that, those things that go along with Easter, instead of the importance of Christ's resurrection. So Easter's primary significance comes, of course, from the day that Christ rose from the grave on Sunday, and that happened 3 days after his death. And since this event took place during the Jewish celebration of Passover, many of the symbols and the themes of Passover have been incorporated into Easter celebrations. Passover in Jesus' day was a very exciting time, especially for the children, because the children in those days watched their fathers roast lambs over an open fire, and then they would sprinkle the blood from the lambs on the sides and the tops of the door frames of their houses. And all the while, the fathers would be telling them that an angel of death would kill the firstborn in every house that was not marked by the blood. And then in the evening, wearing their sandals and dressed for immediately departing, the family members would gather in groups just large enough to eat that entire lamb. There were to be no leftovers. So the Passover meal would include bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. So after midnight, they all gathered up their possessions and left Egypt to begin a new way of life as a free people. So this was the very story that was shared from generation to generation to the children. Israel's slavery in Egypt pictures for us as believers in Christ the bondage to sin from which we have been delivered by Jesus. The slaughtered lamb points to Jesus Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The sprinkling of the blood speaks of the act of faith by which we receive our salvation. Do you know that Christianity is the only historic faith which presents a living Savior? Yes, every religion in the world was founded by some man who died and whose body has remained in the grave. Only Jesus rose triumphantly over death. And we love and worship our precious risen Savior. I'm about out of time. I wanted so much to end the broadcast by reading the last chapter of Luke 24, where Jesus said to his disciples, and I'm going to start it and finish, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus was speaking to the 10 disciples after he had risen from the grave. And he said, "This is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." That's what he's telling the disciples. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. Can't you just see that picture? And he led them out, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful report right out of the Bible. And I just pray that this little review of what Easter is all about will certainly inspire you to enjoy the days, the few days, actually, before we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Yes, it's a special time for me and for my family, and actually for our WWIB family. Some of you listeners I've been this morning reading lots of mail from you, and so many of you have mentioned how many years you've listened. So my prayer as I end the broadcast today is that it will draw each one of us closer to the Lord. And by the way, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, Easter is a perfect time to do just that. So I'll end the broadcast by saying God bless you and goodbye.